Well, we would sure appreciate your prayers this morning, that the word of the Lord could be unhindered and be clear. Wrote on the board, faith like Abraham. And I want to think a little bit about that this morning. God made a covenant with a man named Abraham well over 3,000 years ago. And it has affected the world in a very big way. There is about 8 billion people in the world today, almost 8 billion. And over half look back to the covenant that God made with Abraham and what came from that for their religious roots. That's the Jewish religion, of course, the Christian religion, and also the Muslim religion looks back to Abraham as their roots as well. Now, we certainly, without question, believe what we know to be true. But I will tell you this morning, this man Abraham, there's been a lot written about him. The Bible spends quite a bit of time on Abraham, and we don't have that much time this morning, but we have enough time to go over some of it. And I want to look at Genesis 17 and 1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." You know, this morning there's a lot said about Abraham and what he believed and what God has said about his faith. I want to examine that a little bit this morning because I think there are some things there for us to really get a hold of this morning. God told him, God appeared to Abram. Now, I want us to remember something. I know God appeared to Abram in some very special ways. But do you know that God has appeared to many of us too? And some of us would say, well, when? When he said, come and be saved. When he said, go deeper. When he gave us a call to some part of his work, and maybe we yielded and maybe we didn't. I'm persuaded that if Abram would have heard the voice of God and rejected it and said, I don't want to get up and move, I don't think we would have ever heard of Abram. But Abraham was a man. The name was later changed to Abraham. He was a man that heard the call of God on his life. And he heard it and he believed it. And he took up his life and followed God. Now, the first that we really read of this was not when Abraham was a little boy. He was 75 years old when the Lord called him to get up and leave Ur of the Chaldees. He was 75. Now, you know, this morning, I believe God makes his appeal to you and me too. I certainly know he has to me in many ways and at many different times. And I believe the Lord wants to be that in our lives too. And so as we read through the life of Abraham, I want us to remember something. Abraham had faith and confidence in God. Some way he believed God. And he took his life and lived for God. Now, the Lord told him, because we hear of the faith of Abraham, you know, his faith was, well, here God met with him, and he strictly charged Abraham. He said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, I know Abraham had human faults, and Abraham made a few big mistakes, didn't he, in his life? But I want to tell you, God charged him, I want you to walk before me And I want you to walk before me with your whole heart. That's what he was saying. And I will make my covenant, and I want you to depart from sin. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Has God ever talked to you? Do you know, he wants to. Maybe we didn't listen when he said, come closer. And so he couldn't have these kind of experiences with us. I want to encourage us this morning that God is very real. And he wants to be just like he was with Abraham, with every one of us. I believe that. I believe God wants to be close to every one of us. I believe he wants to speak with us. Even more so, perhaps. And Abram fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, I'm going to ask us this morning to really listen up, because we're going to miss some things if we don't. Thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Do you know that God spoke of us right there? That wasn't just his, we are all children of Abraham. Those who believe are children of Abraham, aren't they? And so he said, I'm going to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Do you know that the Lord had something going with Abraham that was more than an abstract faith? Abraham believed God. And the scripture says it was counted to him for righteousness. In a few minutes, I want to work with that a little bit. I want to tell you something. There is a belief in the Lord that we have to have today that saves us. But I want to tell you something else. God told Abraham here, he said, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. I want us to remember something. At this time, there was no Mosaic law. That came hundreds of years after Abraham. But you know, that did not relieve Abraham of any responsibility to God, because he still was required to strictly obey the Lord. The Lord plainly told him that. And I want to look at his life a little bit and see a few of the times when Abraham, at the expense of his life, served the Lord. And so this morning, we will never, don't just, if you ever are impressed, moved by the world around us to believe that our faith is an abstract thing, that we believe in God and everything is okay no matter what we do. Folks, the covenant is not like that. The covenant is that I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And he tells us to depart from evil. And he tells us the same things that he told Abraham. If you'll keep my covenant, if, there's a big if you will keep my covenant, I'll be a God unto you. And I want to bring this out by quite a few different scriptures this morning, because it's founded upon the rock, upon the word of the Lord this morning. Now, in Genesis 12 and 1, let's look back a little bit and get a better picture of Abraham. And I pray that the Lord would make this understandable, because there are some things here this morning that I believe could unravel some things in some of our minds. In Genesis 12 and 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Do you know what that just said right there? God told him, he said, "I want you to get yourself out of this country that you're in. And I want you to get up and go and move your family and every. I want you to move." That's what God was saying to him. And it straightway, in the fourth verse, then it simply says, "So Abraham departed." Well, you know how much power is in those little words? Abraham moved. He moved everything he had. He took his cattle. He took everything, his household, his servants, and he did just what God told him to do. And so he was 75 years old. I'm thinking in my mind, and I'm pretty sure, that there would have been a lot of reasons Abraham could have said, or Abram at this time, could have said, "I don't think so. Maybe somebody else, Lord, but I'm 75 years old for one thing." Now, I know 75 then was not quite as old as 75 is now, but we know at 99, he knew that he couldn't have children anymore. So his body was aging. Yes, he lived to be 175 years old. But you know what? 75 years old was still fairly old at that time. I think Abram could have said, "This is too much. I don't think so. Lord, are you really sure?" But he knew God told him that. See, the Lord don't deal with us according to what we don't know. He deals with us according to what we know. And he knew God said this. Now, I believe the Lord knows you and I's language. And I think he speaks to a heart that's deeper than I can speak to. And he can speak to us in a way that we know what God said. And God told him, "Get up and go, Abraham." And he knew it. Down in verse 7 it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." I want to notice a few things along the way. It says that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Do you know, I know we spoke of this slightly a minute ago, but the Lord appeared to him. I want to tell you, when we get up and we take our journey, the Lord wants to be real to you and me. I believe he wants to appear in our lives. I believe that he wants to touch our lives at different points, and the Lord wants to speak to us. The Lord wants that. So maybe we are battling around with all these little things in our mind and resisting, really just throwing a towel in and doing everything God wants us to do, and fearful that, well, what's my life going to be like if I take God's way, and all of these things. But I want to tell you something. Abram threw it all in. He was all in. And he took God's way. And you see multiple times God keeps talking to Abraham. That's beautiful. And even more so today, with the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, God wants to be real in our lives this morning. And I just want to encourage us today. Folks, we should not be looking at this thing as if, do I have to do that? We're a long ways from where the Lord wants us to be if that's our view. The Lord is wanting a people that he can make a covenant with. They're followers of Abraham who believed God and takes up their life and follows him no matter what. That's what Abraham did, no matter what. He took a tent and away he went. And he lived in a land that was sometimes hostile. He didn't know who all was going to be there. He didn't know really fully where he was going or any of those things. But he went believing that God would take care of him. I think that's beautiful this morning. That just challenges me. Can I withhold my little part? And I get up to the gates and I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I just couldn't do that. That was just too much. And here's people like Abraham that threw it all in and gave his whole life and future and everything to God. But I want to tell you that wasn't the end of the story. Because all through Abraham's life, we find God meeting with Abraham. It's beautiful. We find Abraham searching after God. That's a beautiful picture to me. We have a search on in our heart for God. That's wonderful, isn't it? And so Abram, it says, the Lord appeared unto him and he built an altar there. That's not the last we're going to hear of that. Abram went down into Egypt after that. There was a big famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt because of that. Genesis 13:1. And then he was coming back out of Egypt. And it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. That's beautiful, isn't it? There was a special time and place. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. He went back to that place and he called upon God. You know, I like to think about that. We're following men and women who was all in. And their lives were such that they followed God and they called upon God. And sometimes maybe if we're not careful, we can't even take time to stop and see about feeding our soul. I'm not getting after us. Or maybe I am. You know what? Let's give it all. Let's put our all in. So he called on the Lord. Let's turn over to Genesis 15:1. You see the back and forth relationship here between Abraham and between God and Abraham. 15:1 through 6 maybe. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now he had just been through a traumatic experience, and Lot had been carried away, and kings had come and attacked Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities there and carried away a lot of stuff, and Abram went and delivered them. And so he came back, and it says, After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. I don't have any children of my wife, of ours. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. This is inspiring. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know that Abraham believed God. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, aren't we told to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you shall be saved. This is faith, isn't it? This is believing upon God. Believing in God. Believing in such a way that something happens here. And we are born of life, aren't we? The Lord puts it. The Lord does something for us. He forgives us, doesn't he? And so, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I want to tell you, we're the children of Abraham this morning. You know, Abraham took upon him the covenant with this great God of heaven and earth. And he strictly obeyed him. You see, his faith was not what I call a static. I don't know if that's a good word for it. A static faith. A faith that has no movement. A faith that has no reality. A faith that is without anything. That wasn't the kind of faith Abraham had. He believed God and he obeyed God. Folks, that's what the Lord is looking for this morning. Do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We must to be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. So we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we follow the faith of Abraham. That's beautiful, isn't it? And we rise up our life and we follow the Lord. Did not the Lord say something like, if you love me, then keep my commandments? He said that, didn't he, this morning? Oh, I want to tell you something. The Lord is looking for a people that will be children of Abraham. They will believe in the Lord and in his life and in his commandments. Now, we hear a lot about because people misunderstand and twist. And the devil works in all of this, and they twist the scriptures. That, you know, and they think this thing about there's no law. We will never get out from under obeying the Lord. That's what Abraham did. That's what we do. Now, there was a ceremonial law given in the Old Testament. Now, listen to this. There was a ceremonial law, and they killed animals for sacrifices. And they had certain days that they had to observe, and they had feasts that they had to be at, and all kinds of things, many things that greatly affected their life and was a real hindrance to their living, as Paul says it. Do you know this morning, those things are done away with. But the obedience to God will never be done away with. We can never be servants of the Most High God and just disobey Him. That's not God's people. It wasn't Abraham's way. It's not our way either. It's not the scriptural way. And so this morning I want to encourage us folks. We live in a country that is permeated, completely perverted by this idea that there is a faith that is somehow an abstract thing, that we believe in God, and that saves us. Past, present, and future. That's everything but Scripture. Everything against Scripture, in fact. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us, folks, God wants us to be completely, to our life, obedient unto Him. Now, I want to show you an example or two in Abraham's life. Look at Genesis 22 and 1. And let's consider this little thing that this little story that we all know so well. Probably everyone here knows this story. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, I don't think he tempted him to sin. What he was doing was he was trying him. He was seeing what he was made out of. He was purifying Abraham's desires. I want to tell you what, the Lord wanted to bless Abraham, and he gave him this little purification thing here. Have you ever been in a trial and you come out on the other side and you realize what God did for your faith in that? That's what he does. And so God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. That was Abraham's just, that was his just status quo. Here I am, Lord. You call, I'm here. And he said, take now. Now listen to what God said to Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now Abraham believed God. Wasn't he safe? Couldn't he have just said, I don't think so? No, he couldn't say that, because he had a covenant with God. There was a relationship where he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord would wake him, and the Lord would visit him in visions and of the night and things. God would visit Abraham. And he said, I want you to take your son who you love. I know you love him. Get and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I'm going to be a little reedy here and read some. dropping down to 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Now, I kind of skipped over the part where Abraham, the next morning, got up and went to do this tremendous deed. Can you imagine God calling for that? And you just getting up the next morning, taking off. That's what God said to do. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, hang on. And he has the knife up like this. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What a trial that would be. What a temptation that would be. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know there was one offered up in the stead of us? You know some of us really deserve some punishment in life for some of the sins we did in sin. And there was one offered, wasn't there? Perhaps on this same mountain. They're not real sure. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast... Now wait a minute. I thought Abraham's faith had no works with it. But listen to this. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know, the Lord called another man one time. His name was Saul, the king. You remember, and how God blessed him, and how God poured out his spirit upon him. But you know, somewhere along the way, Saul got lifted up, and he began to take his own way. And he sinned. He did exactly what God said, don't do. And then he lied to the prophet about it. And the prophet Samuel told him, didn't he? The Lord's going to rend the kingdom from you. You know, I have to believe, had Abraham not obeyed God, would have probably been the end of it. But Abraham obeyed God. And he said, because you've done this, because you followed through with your faith, with your obedience, because you kept doing what I told you to do, he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Here we are today. We're blessed by the birth and death of Jesus Christ, aren't we? We are blessed by the pattern that Abraham gave to us for us to follow this morning. Folks, it's more than we can take in, isn't it? Thank the Lord this morning that we have more than a static faith that has no movement, no strength. Folks, the Lord wants our life to be alive in the Lord. He wants to talk to us at various times through our life, many times in fact, and daily He wants to feed our souls. The Lord does. In Galatians 3 and 6, I want to look at some of the scriptures that we hear because it's so important for us. These scriptures all have meaning. They mean something. In Galatians 3 and 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you know that's beautiful? There was no law yet given when Abraham was serving the Lord. There was no Jesus Christ that had come to the earth and died yet. There was no such thing. But Abraham believed God, and he obeyed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. All this morning, I know that the old law was something that Paul strictly and sternly and just deftly tried to turn the people away from. Folks, the Jews, you've trusted in this all these years. It's never been able to save you. We cannot do enough good things to save us. When I hear somebody, and you hear it sometimes, talk about our work saving us. Folks, it's not going to happen. But I want to tell you something. Our belief in salvation through Christ and obedience to the things of the Lord, that will. Those things will save us this morning. Oh, the Lord wants to give those things to us. And so Abraham wasn't under any of those covenants, but he had a covenant with God, and there's something the Lord wants us to glean from that. Look over in Acts 5 and 32, and we find there, listen to this, and we are witnesses of these things. Peter was preaching here, or he was talking to some of the rulers here, and verse 31 says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, which is part of the Godhead, right? Whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Folks, the things of God come through to those who have believed the Lord and obeyed Him. And He says the Holy Ghost is given to those that obey Him. Oh, let's don't ever, folks, steel yourself against the religious world around us that constantly speaks of these this accounted for righteousness. Let's understand, yes, it was accounted for righteousness. Thank God, it's a beautiful thing. But let's don't misunderstand it. And let's don't take up on it something that damns our soul. Because when we believe that we don't have to be obedient to the Lord, all we have to do is believe. And the obedience doesn't come in. Then, folks, we'll never make it to heaven. We'll never see God like that. So the Lord, help us today to understand. Lord, open our minds and cause us to understand your ways. Know the works of the law. How could a man be saved? And Paul spent a lot of time in Romans and Colossians and Galatians and different ones, trying to convince the Jews that were there that you can't be saved through the works of the law. But we can be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and obeying His Spirit and obeying His words. We can be saved that way. So let's search Him out and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a hunger. Because I would kind of like for you to visit me once in a while. I want to tell you something. It is very precious when the Lord visits you. But I'll say something else. A lot of times, it's when we are not in our easy chair. A lot of times when the Lord visits us, it's at those times, special times, sometimes very difficult times. And the Lord comes, and He visits us especially. More than just the everyday inspiration of His Word. But He visits us. He talks to us. He gives us His Word and His thoughts about things. Now listen to this. In Hebrews 10 and 1, what was all the law about and everything then? Why would such a thing exist if it had no meaning? Well, it did. And the writer of Hebrews has a very clear perception of what the law was about. It says, for the law, this is talking about the Mosaic law, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Now, you know what a shadow is? Where's a shadow here? You see the shadow of that tree on the wall over there? You see the shadow? It simply tells you that there's something there. There's something there. The shadow is not what's there. It's just showing you there's something casting a shadow here. And he says here, the shadow, a shadow of good things, the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It can never do the work in the heart. It can never do that. All they could do is offer up sacrifices and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. But you know, then we come back. We come back and we hear another part of the story, don't we? Over there in Romans 8 and 2. Listen to this, what Paul says there. He says, for the law. Now what law is this? This is another law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That thing that they just kept tripping over every time, the sacrifices and all those things could never deliver them. It could never make them free. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All this morning, God has given us something wonderful. Folks, we want to understand the truths of the Bible. They will deliver us. They will keep us free. They will keep us from taking upon us the yoke that Paul was talking about at the end of the 7th chapter. That he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, well, what more could you have under the old law? You can never be really delivered. You could just be forgiven. Forgiven, forgiven. But then the 8th chapter, oh, it goes on. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death that was around my neck, that I cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, can I ever be delivered? Yes. Yes. I thank God. he said, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then he kind of reverts back in his, to what he was speaking of before. So folks, this morning, I'm just bringing you some really good news. Folks, let's believe. Let's be followers of Abraham who believe in God by faith. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And he went out and he served the Lord and he obeyed him. I know he didn't have everything we have. He didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the power of God that Jesus Christ came to bring us. But we do. And let's don't stop until we find that power in our life. And let's don't be talked out of that. Let's don't. The world all around us, I'm amazed at the power of it. I just turned on the other day, there's on the radio, and this preacher started talking within about 2 or 3 minutes or so, or five. He started talking about pastors. And he said, you know, they sin all the time too, every day. Well, folks, that's not what the Word says. And if you see me do that, pray for me and set me aside. Because I believe a lot better than that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, which are in Christ Jesus. All this morning, Paul said in Colossians 2 and 14, he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All those things that meant something, those shadows of things to come. What was that lamb being slain? It was Jesus Christ. It was a shadow of Jesus Christ, wasn't it? And he was slain that we might have life forevermore. And what do all those things mean? I believe there was a shadow in the Sabbath. There's a rest to the people of God. It's not talking about a physical rest either. There's a real spiritual rest to the people of God, where they don't have to be under the bondage of Satan's hand all the time anymore. That's what Jesus came for today. I know the Sabbath predated the ceremonial law, but I still believe, you read the scriptures, for the law, Hebrews 10 and 1, having a shadow of good things to come, we read that. And not the very image of those things, of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? They would have ceased to be offered then. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. See, listen to this covenant that God has with us. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, speaking of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All this morning, the Lord wants to give to us the gift of his Holy Spirit living in our heart, cleansing, purifying. There is a cleansing work, I believe, when it happens. And the Lord wants to work in our life the rest of our life too. You know, in Galatians 3 and 9, few more scriptures here. Galatians 3 and 9, it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. But listen to this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, there it is again. You know that there's a blessing of believing in the Lord and being saved, that then we might open our hearts and receive the Spirit of God into our life through faith. I want to tell us a couple of other things before we go. James 2 and 19. Listen to this. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James kind of puts us in perspective. And so when we get all the scriptures and we recognize what God is looking for, it opens our hearts and minds, doesn't it? Puts things in proper perspective. And he said, you know, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Just remember, the devils also believe and they tremble. They know there's a God. You better believe it, they know there's a God. But wilt thou, O vain man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You see, this isn't the works of the law. It's the work of obedience. And he said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Isn't that the blessing? The Lord said, I'm going to bless you because you did this. I'm going to bless you. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? You see, it's very important, faith is. And so is our works. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. At least three times in the New Testament it mentions that. That it was imputed to him for righteousness. Folks, that's where we're at today, isn't it? We believe God. We believe in the Lord Jesus. And we are saved by faith in his blood alone. That's what we're saved by. But we have to rise up and obey the Lord. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, now do you take that in? As the body without the spirit is dead, there is no more life in it. They pronounce them dead, don't they? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Oh, this morning, the Lord help us to realize that this is far more than an abstract faith. This is a living faith. It changes our life. We pick up to follow the Lord, whatever he calls for. It has nothing to do with a faith that, as one man told me one time, he said, he was living a wicked life. Young man, worked for us, and going out on the weekends, doing all kinds of things, and he just simply said, I'm just hoping there'll be a little bit of time there that I can believe before. Well, he didn't understand a thing about it. I could see that. He didn't understand a thing about it. You mean you're going to believe? What do you mean believe? We believe, we repent, we take up our cross, we follow the Lord all the way. It's not rocket science, folks. The Lord help us today. For I'll just skip to one more place. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That sounds kind of like Abraham's beginnings, didn't it? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I just want to ask us this morning, who is willing to be all in? Who is willing that when God deals with us about anything, that we just get up and move? That's our life. All in. Completely in. And I want to tell you something. If we'll be that way, I believe God will be a God to us just like He was to Abraham. He'll meet with us. He'll call us. We'll find our place in His work because our whole heart's desire begins to be, Lord, what do you want me to do? Isn't that what Paul said as soon as the Lord struck him down? Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, that's what the Lord wants from us. The Lord bless us today. I thank God for the truths that's been handed to me that I could build upon and go deeper by studying things, by the Lord giving us things. Folks, I hope all of us just go deeper than anybody else has told us about. We can go places we've never heard of in the Lord. And I'm just talking about following God. I don't know what He'll do with some here, but the Lord has a way. If we give ourselves to Him, it may not be any big thing at all, but I just want to encourage us to be there. Be in God's will. Be in His place. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. It is God's will for us. Be counted. Be in the service. And He tells us to not only not neglect the assembling of ourselves, but He says to exhort one another daily. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to encourage us when we come to meeting, ask the Lord, Lord, shall I have a little testimony tonight? Shall I have an exhortation? Give yourself to the Lord. You'd be surprised how He'll meet with you. You pray for me.